We begin the current daf in Sechdes Gittin, daf Yud. We begin 6 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing in the theme of these Mishnayos, which we had introduced the Brice in the previous daf, that delineated that there are 3, or possibly 4, according to Reb Meir, ways that there are similarities between the halachas of Gittin Noshim and Shechur Avodim, which actually on the top of this Amud, we explain that there are other similarities, but regarding where they share similarities that are different and dissimilar than Kiddushin. So the Mishnah continues that this is another area where they're similar, and that is kol get sheyesh lav eid kuti posel, any document that has a kuti signed as a witness is going to be invalid because they're suspected that they have false testimony. Chutz mikitei nashim b'shechur avadim, except for a divorce document of a woman or an emancipation document for a slave, where there, even though if you have a kuti, which again we explained in the previous daf, kutim are a certain sect that lived in Samaria, they were brought by the Assyrians into Eretz Yisrael due to that they had exiled the 10 tribes, and they were brought in there and they had very doubtful status regarding their conversion to Judaism, so they're considered pasul for other documents, but they're considered kosher for gittin nashim b'shechur avadim. Now, there was an incident where they brought a document in front of Rav Gamliel and Kfar Usnoi that was a get isha, was a divorce document for a woman. And the witnesses were kute witnesses. And he validated it was okay because even though it was kutim, but it was for a get isha. Now the Gemara wonders, mani masnin, who is the Tana of our Mishnah in regards to its opinion of the status of kutim being believed or not when they're signed on a document, seemingly loy tanakama, v'loyer belaza, v'loyer b'shem gamliel. It's not like either one of these 3 opinions that the Gemara is going to quote now, the Tanya, like learned the Braisa. The Braisa discusses regarding eating matzah on Pesach. So the Braisa says, matzah's kuti muteras. It's permitted to eat the matzah made by a kuti on Pesach, and we're not concerned that maybe they made it leavened, that it's chametz. And moreover, and actually, a person could actually fulfill his obligation of consuming Pesach, of eating matzah on Pesach, which is the first night of Pesach. There's an obligation to eat matzah. Moreover, besides the fact that, like it says in the pasuk, be'erev toichlu matzahs, there's an obligation that the matzah of the first night has to be what's called shmura matzah. It has to be that it was safeguarded with a certain level of strictness more and beyond that's necessary for the rest of Pesach. Now, because that halacha is where, although for the rest of Pesach it's enough just to know that it's not chametz stick, regarding the matzah of the first night, that's not enough. It has to be that there were certain safeguards that were placed in to watch this bread, this dough, that it doesn't become chametz stick to fulfill the obligation of the matzah. Like the pasuk says, ushmartem es ha-matzahs. That's a unique halacha, not just that it shouldn't be chametz stick. Let's say there's a way to verify it's not chametz stick. It's not enough. Has to have been shmur, has to have been safeguarded, and the kutim are proficient in this halacha. They know how to safeguard this for the sake of being shmur matzah, and they do it, and therefore it says the Tanna Kamma that it's okay. Not only could you eat it, you could even eat it for the shmur matzah for the Seder night. Now, Rabbi Elazar Oysim. Rabbi Elazar says it's forbidden to even eat the matzah the rest of the days of Pesach, because we do suspect them that they made a chametz stick, that it's not matzah. And the reason being is lefisha in bekin b'tekduke mitzvahs. The kutim are not proficient in the minutiae, in the details of mitzvahs, and therefore they don't know how to really properly make matzahs, and therefore you can't eat it at all over Pesach because it might be chametz stick. Shimon Gamliel, in the third opinion, he says, kol mitzvah shechzigu bo kutim, any mitzvah that the kutim grabbed a hold of, where the Gemara Masechet Chulin explains that seemingly this sounds like the same like the Tanna Kamma. Rav Shimon is coming to add on to the opinion of the Tanna Kamma that even if it's a rabbinic mitzvah, which is not even written in the Torah, but if they really held, they got into this mitzvah and they're muchzik in it, they're established that they do it well, that we believe them and rely on them even regarding a rabbinic mitzvah. So that's what Rav Shimon Lila is saying, that any mitzvah that the kutim will grab a hold of, harba medaktikim bo yosim Yisrael, he says, what are you worried about? That they're not became medaktikim mitzvahs? He says, to the contrary, these kutim, when they get into a mitzvah, they're actually more meticulous in the details of the law than the Jewish people themselves. And therefore, he says that, just like the Tanna Kamma, that it would be okay even for the shmur matzah of the Seder night. Now, ask the Gemara, Mani, who is the Tanna of our Mishnah? as the Gemara explains, eat Tanakama, if we'd be going like the Tanakama of the Braisa. The problem is, afila shar shtaros nami. Then even other documents, we don't suspect the kutim of not fulfilling the mitzvahs. The Tanakama made it sound like that, go ahead, you could eat the matzah of the kutim, even for the shmur matzah, because we don't suspect them. So why does the Tana of our Mishnah, if we'd be going like the Tanakama, say that other documents, you can't use a witness that's a kuti? So it doesn't sound like the Tanakama. If we'd be going like Rebbe Elazar, then nafila get isha namile. Then even for a get isha, you shouldn't be allowed to use an eight kuti, because he says that we suspect them. They're not proficient in law. They're going to lie. They're not doing things the way the Jewish way is. So how do we let the eight kuti by kitei nashim? And the ir b'shimingam liel. And if it's going like b'shimingam liel, then the problem is what's called memanavshach, and that is ida achzuk. If they're established in the halachas of gitin and shtaris, well then, afilish shar shtaros nami. Then even other documents also. Meaning, Rebbe Shimon Gamliel said, look, if there's an area of law that they held on to, then they're good to go. They're even better than the Jews. So either way you look at it, if they're proficient in the halachas of documents, and therefore when they sign, they know what they're signing for, and they're telling the truth, then the same thing should apply not just to Gitei Nashim, but it should apply to other documents too. And either loy asik, if they're not established in their understanding of the dikta halacha relating to documents, well, then afilah Gerisha namile. Then even by Gerisha, they shouldn't be believed, and we shouldn't allow a kuti to sign. So how would we be able to differentiate between Gitei Nashim and Shar Shtaros? Now, so the Gemara says, and v'chitem, and if you're going to say, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, that truthfully the Tana of our Mishnah is like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. But, u'da achzik baha, they're established in their understanding and their execution of Gitei Nashim and Shechur Avadim, but v'lay achzik baha, but they're not established in their validity in regards to other documents. And that's why, whatever they're muchzikin, that's what they're good for, and they're only good for Gitei Nashim and Shechur Avadim, and not for Shar Shtaros. And that the Gemara asks, Ehach, if that would be the case, then my area, then why is it said in our Mishnah that when do we say a eight kuti is kosher, is valid by the Gitei Nashim, why do we say chad? Why, if one reads the Mishnah, it said that kol get sheyeshalav eight kuti is pasul by Shar Shtaros, but by Gitei Nashim is kosher, why say that there's only one kuti sign in it, which sounds like that it's only good when there's one kuti, and that means the other witness has to be a full bona fide Jew, a Yisrael, but it sounds like that if there was two kutim, then it wouldn't be valid. Why? Afila treinami, even if they're both kutim, it should be a kosher get. And the reason being is because you're saying that according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, they're muchzik in regards to Gitei Nashim b'Shechur Avadim, so even two should be good. Now, therefore, the question is, Alama Amar Rebbe Elazar, why did Rebbe Elazar the Amira qualify and say, it wasn't validated, the Eide Kutim, regarding Gitei Nashim, which is said in our Mishnah, Eile Eid Echad Kuti Bilvad, only one Eid Kuti, as seemingly it's Meduik in our Mishnah, which it says, Eid Kuti in the singular is not good by Shash Torahs, but Eid Kuti is good by Gitei Nashim, but why? If the way you're explaining is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that they're muchzik, so even both of them kutim should be better even than the regular Yisrael. Why is only one eight kuti good? So the Gemara concludes and says, La'olam Rebbe Elazar. Truthfully, it's like the Tana Rebbe Elazar in that Braisa regarding the halachas of matzah, who said that we suspect the eidik, we suspect kutim in regards to all areas of halacha. Now, then the question then becomes, so then why did we say that by gitim, that we say it's valid to have an eight kuti who signed on the get? That's who could go in the chasam Yisrael. As we said, as meduik from the Mishnah, as the Gemara just explained from Rebbe Elazar the Amira, that the halacha of our Mishnah of validating the eight kuti is only one, which means to say that there's another witness, because you always have to have two witnesses, that's a Yisrael. Now, so the case we're discussing is like that the other witness that's Jewish, he signed libsaif. He signed at the end of the document, meaning below where the kuti had signed. Now, so as we continue our Tamid Beis, the Gemara explains that the proof of this is the ilav de kuti chaver hava. If not for the fact that this kuti was a learned and well-versed kuti in halacha and following Jewish practice, then that other Jewish witness would not have been machtim lei, would not have allowed the kuti to have signed mikameh in front of him. The only reason why he let him go in front of him was because you're the Talmud Chacham, although you're a Kuti. Many Kutim are not on that status, but you are, so you go first. And then he went after him for the fact that, and that's the case that we're conceptualizing, is that the Yisrael signed second. That's how we know that the eight Kuti is going to be valid. So although, yes, like Rebbe Elazar, we usually suspect the Kuti, but this case is different because the second witness is indicating in his signing second that the first eight kuti was valid. Now the Gemara wonders, ihachi, but if that's the interpretation, well, the nafila shashtar is nami, then even other documents too, which how you're conceptualizing the case, which the Mishnah differentiates between the two of them, that you told about that the Yisrael signed at the end, afterwards, should also be kosher. So, Ella, so rather the Gemara says, obviously, what do you have to say? Why is it that by other documents, we do not establish that must be that the first kuti who signed is a Talmud Chacham and a well-learned person by having him go first? Because, we say that no, that the Jew who signed second at the end, Rav Kushavik Lamanda Kashash Mine, we say that he only left space for someone that's elder to him. In other words, that those who were seeing the testimony with this Jew who signed second were many people. There were many Jews, and there were people that were older than him. And there was also a kuti over there. Now, when this Jew went and signed first, he thought that the owner of the document, who's he going to have sign with him? Probably going to be one of the elder Jews that are around over there. So therefore, when they told him to sign first, so he signed on the bottom of the document because he wanted to be able to have that who should be the first one should be that elderly Jew, although they asked him first, but let me sign on the bottom as if I came second. Now, but actually, the lender actually came and who did he have sign after him, which was on top of his signature, he actually had the kuti come and sign. Now, that is why we say that by other documents, we don't say that by the fact that the Jew signed second must be that he left space for the first one for this kuti chaver. Could be the kuti is not a learned person, and we have to suspect him, and that's why if a kuti signed in other documents, it will be invalid. And because by the fact that he left space, it's not a proof. So, therefore, says the Gemara, so hachinami, then the same thing should apply over here. By a get isha, we should say the same thing. Rav chashavik lamanda kashash mine, maybe he left space because he thought it's going to be signed by someone that's elder than him. So he wanted it to look like that the elderly person should sign first. But actually, as we prove from Shashtaris, that's not what happened. They had a kuti sign. So therefore, it should be possible by Gitin Nashim too. Why are you validating it? Because you said the fact that he signed second must be that he knew the kuti that's signing after him, who he left space for, is a kuti chaver. He signed after the kuti. Why did he let the kuti go before him? That was the Gemara's assumption. Because, you're a Talmud Chacham, you signed first, I'll sign after you. Now the Gemara's saying, no, maybe that's not what happened. Maybe he actually, the one who signed at the bottom actually signed first. And he left space for an elderly person, which didn't end up happening. He had a kuti sign, and therefore it should be invalid because kutim are chashudim like Rabbi Elazar the Tan and the Braisa, and maybe that's what happened by Gitin Nashim, just like we obviously suspect by Shar Shtaris. So Amar Papa, Papa says, to answer the question, he says, Zoyse Meris, what we have to say is, obviously from our Mishnah, that validates an eight kuti by a get, but invalidates it by other documents, must be telling us the following idea, that Eide HaGet Ein Chesmen Zeh B'Lo Zeh. By witnesses of a get, they don't sign one not in front of the other. Rather, they sign and they're all present there at the same time. So therefore, obviously, like the interpretation that we had said, that this Jew who signed second had to have seen the Kuti who signed on top of him and he signed on the bottom of him. And therefore, hence, as we just explained before, were he not to be a Chaver, a Talmud Chacham, he wouldn't have let him sign in front of him. But by witnesses of other documents, they don't have to sign one in front of the other, meaning as long as they're both verifying this fact, one could sign it at one time and the other one could sign it at a different time. Now, therefore, there you're right. There we have to suspect that maybe this Jew who signed on the bottom actually signed first, and he had left room because he thought an elderly person is going to sign on top of him, and he didn't know that actually at the end, ultimately, it's going to be a kuti signing on top, and therefore having the kuti would invalidate it because it's not a proof from the second one signing on the bottom that he had signed after the kuti. Maybe he signed first. But by Kitei Nashim, the reason why we're validating is because they only sign when they're both there signing at the same time. So that's inherent proof that the first one was a kuti chaver. Now the Gemara wonders, my time. Why did the rabbi say this? That by Kitei Nashim, you can't have one sign without the other one there. So Amar Rashi, Rashi says, because it's a gezeir mishum kulchem. It's a decree because of the case of when he says, all of you, which is related, which is talking about a Mishnah later on, the Samach Vavim Beis, that if, let's say, a husband said to 10 people, he said, Kisvu, kulchem kisvu get lished. He says, all of you, I want you to write a get for my wife. So they can't all write it. So the halach is that one writes, and the rest of them sign. Now, actually, if they don't all sign, the get is possible, because he was particular. He said, I want you all to write for my wife. which that's the only way he's validating it to be as a get. Now, because of that case, the Rabbanan instituted that even when he doesn't say kulchem, all of you, that still all the witnesses should be gathered at the time that they're signing, because of, not to confuse with the case of kulchem, which then they all have to be there because they all have to sign. So any time that they sign, they all have to be there. So since they made that gezeira, so again, therefore, by the case of the eight kuti signed on the top and the Jew signed second, we know that he saw the eight kuti because we know by gittin they have to all sign at the same time. And his signing after the eight kuti inherently signifies that the first one was a kuti chaver, and therefore even according to Rabbi Elazar, the Tana of the Braisa would agree that in this case we won't be chayshim, and that's always going to be kashim. And therefore again, the Tana of our mission is Rabbi Elazar, who that's the difference between Gittin Nashim and Shachuri Avadim and Shar Shtaris, where eight kuti is going to be kashim by Gittin Nashim and not by Shar Shtaris. Now Gufa, the Gemara goes back to something we mentioned before, that Amr Rabbi Elazar, he says Loi hechshiru bai, this that we validated an eight kuti signed in Gittin Nashim Shechur Avodim, that he explains was Ella eight echad kuti blavad. That's only if you only have 1 8 kuti signed. But two wouldn't be kosher even by Gittin Nashim. So the Gemara wonders, my kamashalom, what is Rabbi Elazar the Amira teaching us more than Tanina? We learned this already in our Mishnah. As we already made the inference before, it says, Kol get sheyeshel of eight kuti pasul, that any document that has a even one witness that's a kuti sign in it is going to be invalid, chulu, etc. And on that, the Mishnah tells us, chutz mikitei nashim, except for gitei nashim, which is that when you have the eight kuti, which it says in the singular, then it is going to be kasher. So you see that when did we say it's kasher? It's only by one and not by two. So why do we need Rabbi Elazar the Amira? So that the Gemara answers, imi masnitin, had we only had the inference that we're making from the Mishnah, Havamina filetrei nami. I would have thought to say that even with two eide kutayim, that the get would be kasha. Now, v'haidik toni chad, this that the Mishnah says, the singular term, that's actually only coming to teach us the stringency by other documents. Mishum de bishtoris afilachad nami loy, to tell you that regarding, however, by other documents, that even one eide kutayim is going to be invalid because you only have now one Yisrael and the document's only good with two valid witnesses. Kamash Malon, that's Rabbi Elazar that Amir is coming to teach us, that no, that even regards to the validity of the Gittin Nashim, it's not just the Chad wasn't only coming to say the Psula of Shar Shtaris, it was also going on the Kashris of Gittin Nashim, that is only good with one Eid Kuti, not with two Eid Kuti, because as we explained before, that the only reason why we allow Eid Kuti by the Gittin Nashim is not because Kutim are good, it's like actually like Rabbi Elazar the Tana of the Braisa, who says we usually suspect them that they're not good. It's only because the second witness is a Jew, as we explained, which inherently, intrinsically tells us that the first kuti that signed is a chaver. So therefore, it's obviously not by both of them being kutim. But however, in this halacha of the Amir Rabbi Elazar, the Gemara asks, betray law, is that really true that, however, if they're both kutim, that is not kosher? But we learned at the end of the Mishnah, the Mishnah concludes and says that Maisa, to illustrate this halacha, the Mishnah brings a story that ve'evi'u lefnei Rabbi Gamliel l'kfar osnoi, that they brought in front of Rabbi Gamliel in this village of Osnoi get isha, a divorce document for a woman, v'hoyu eidav eidei kutim, and the witnesses, the plural, the two witnesses were kutei witnesses, v'hechsher, and he said it's kasher. So you see that halacha allowing eidei kutim agitim is not just one, is even both of them being kutim. So Abaya says, no, tni eidoi. Actually, you have to amend the Mishnah, take out the yud, and read it as his witness, meaning one of the witnesses was kutim, and he said it's kasha. But you're right, two would not be kasha. Ravam, he gives a different answer. He says, lo'ilam trei, that truthfully, that incident with Rabbi Gamliel was both of them being kutim. Rabbi Gamliel, miflek palik, and Rabbi Gamliel actually argues on the Tanna Kamma. Now, if you're going to ask, usually when the Mishnah brings a Maisa, it doesn't usually bring a story to contradict what was just said as the halacha before. So in that, the Gemara explains, v'chasuri mechser, there are actually words missing, v'ach ekitani, and this is what it's supposed to say in the Mishnah. V'Rem Gamliel machshe b'shnayim, it's supposed to say these words. Gamliel argues and disputes the Tanna Kamma, and he says it's kasher even with both of them being kutim. And that's what the Mishnah says, v'maisa nami shavil of Rem Gamliel, l'kvar asnoi, get isha, v'hoyu eidev eidev kutim ehechsher. And that's the story that backs up Rabbi Gamliel's opinion, disputing Tanna Kamma, that they, as we see, that they brought him two Eidim, Kutim, and he said that it's Kasher, whereas Tosfos explains that obviously the way Rav is answering in the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel, that according to him, you have to say what we said before of the Achzik Baha, Le'achzik Baha, as we said in Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that must be that regarding Gittin Nashim, Shechur Avodim, they are Muchzik in that, and therefore they are believed, and therefore even both of them, Kutim, is good. Whereas regarding shashtaris, that they're not muchzik, and therefore they're not believed, even with one of them being an eid kutin. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the next halacha, the third halacha that we said is shavim gitei nashim b'shechur avadim, which is that generally kol hashtaris ha'olim ba'arkoyis shal ha'ibdei kachavim, regarding any document that gets processed in the non-Jewish courts. So the halacha is afa p'shechis mein ibdei kachavim, even though the signatures, the ones who are signing, are non-Jews, kesherim, it's valid. Chutz migitei nashim b'shechur avadim, except when it comes to the divorce documents of women and emancipation of slaves, that is where they're similar, unlike other documents, where it's not going to be valid if it was processed and signed by non-Jews in the non-Jewish courts. Now, Reb Shimon Aimer, he argues on this halacha, and he says, af eluk sherin, he says, even by gitei nashim b'shechur avadim, they're going to be kosher, even though they were signed and processed in non-Jewish courts. Now, that is what the Mishnah explains, lo huskru, because this, that it wasn't mentioned in the Beis HaMedrash, that a document signed by a non-Jewish posel, that was ela bezman shenasa behedyot. That was only if the document was processed through non-Jews that are not judges, not part of a court circuit, but rather they're just common, regular citizens. That's where we said it's going to be posel. And the Gemara is going to explain exactly who is saying the statement and what is it qualifying, where we only said that it's posel only when it's done by Hedyotis, but if not, then it is going to be kosher, even though it's processed in a non-Jewish court. Now, the Gemara asked the following question. Kapasik v'tani. It was said unanimously that old documents are kosher if they're processed in a non-Jewish court, even though they're signed by non-Jews. And seemingly, as the Gemara says, loishna mecher, loishna matana. The Mishnah didn't differentiate between what type of a document we're talking about regarding, besides doesn't make a difference if it's a document of a sale or a document that's gifting something to someone. So which the Gemara asks, Bishloi Mamecher, we very well could understand regarding if someone has a document regarding a sale of his land to someone else, that it's not really the actual kinyan, the acquisition is not happening with the document, rather with the monies that the purchaser gave to the seller. The reason being, as the Gemara explains, Michi Yahiv, from the moment that that person gives zuze, he gives money to his friend, the Jew, kamayhu, in front of the non-Jewish judges, hu dekana, that's what acquires the land for himself. And the reason being is because land can be acquired either with money or with a shtar, with a document. So essentially, right when he gives the money, he has already acquired the field. That's a valid kinyan. V'shtar raya ba'almahu, the document that's being processed in the non-Jewish courts is really only being used as a proof that the seller shouldn't say, I never sold it to you, and I never got money from you. Now, so we understand, for that, the non-Jewish courts are good just as a way of proving something, but not to create a halachic kinyan of acquisition. Now, the reason being is because the reason why their document is at least considered good for just proof purposes is because if it was really true that the purchaser had not given money to the seller, then since they're established, legitimate, respected judges, lahava marinav shayu, they wouldn't have caused something that could taint their reputation to chasam leishtar and have written him a document if it wasn't true. So therefore, explains the Gemara, we could understand by a shtar mechira how that document could be good halachically, because the only thing the document is really doing is just being used as proof. And it definitely is a legitimate proof, because he wouldn't risk his reputation if that actually didn't happen, that he had given them money. But the real kinyan is happening with the money. Elamatana, but ask the Gemara regarding a document of gifting something to someone else. So, b'maikakani, with what does the recipient of the gift acquire the gift? He's not giving him money, it's not a sale. Lav b'haishtara, isn't it with the document? In other words, through the document that the giver is giving to the recipient, that's how the recipient receives whatever that person wants to gift him, because that's what he writes to him. He writes on the document, Sadi nesuna lacha, my field is given to you as a gift, and there's no chalipin being done over here, which that the one gives to the other one a kerchief, neither is there any other kinyan. So the difficulty is that how does the recipient acquire that field, let's say, with the giving over of the document, but v'haishtara chaspa ba'almahu, that document is just a piece of paper, a shard. In other words, there's no validity to it, because who signed it? Who made this a document? Non-Jews. They're not able to create a halacha kinyan. They're not in the halachas relating to this. How could they have made a document that could create a kinyan if they're not able to, if they're not valid witnesses for the Jewish law? So Amar Shmuel, he says, what's called dina de machusa, the law of the government, even of non-Jews, is dina, is considered din, as we explained. They are, when the Sheva Mitzvah Benenech is din, is laws, and therefore, since their law requires this and it's part of the processes of their laws, it's included in the halacha, and therefore, they actually could create a halachic document to create a matana that one person is giving to another person. That's one approach in the Gemara. Or the Ibay Yisema, or if you want, you could say that Tani, you should amend the reading of the halacha in our Mishnah with one extra letter, which changes the dynamics. Chutz mikigitei nashim. When it said that all documents that are processed in non-Jewish court, even if they're signed by non-Jews, are valid, we said, as the reading seemingly in our Mishnah is, except for gitei nashim. Now the Gemara is answering that you could say that except for those which are like gitei nashim. In other words, any document that's like a get nashim, which is that through the document is how the halachic conclusion of that element is happening, meaning how does a woman get divorced? By receiving that document. Now, which means to say it's not just being used as a proof, but it's actually creating the halachic kinyan. Now, that would also include a shtar matana, where also it's not just like a proof like a shtar mechira, it's actually what's creating the gifting. That could be that you're right, non-Jews can't do that, just like they can't do that by gitei nashim. And that's included in the extra chaf, which is saying anything that's like gitei nashim, which is being created the kinyan through the receipt of that document, that you're right, that wouldn't be able to be done by non-Jews. So that's the two different approaches. Either it does work because of dina machusa, or it doesn't work because you're right, it is like gitei nashim in that element. Reb Shimon Omer, he argued on the Tana Kama, and he said, no, af elu kshein v'chulu, even gitei nashim and shechur avadim are going to be kosher, even though they're processed in non-Jewish courts. On that, the Gemara asked, but v'hala b'nei krisis nunu, but they're not people, non-Jews, are not in the halachic framework of creating separation, meaning the Torah tells us that the get has to be what's called a sefer krisis, a book of separation. Now the problem is that since they're not included, they don't have halachas of gittin and kedushin, so they can neither can they be witnesses to testify and concretize the get that's being written, because the Torah tells us v'chasa v'nasan, which the drasha tells us whoever is in the category of a nasan that can give a get can be in v'chasa to write a get, to create a get, and they're not in the halachas of gittin, even in their laws they don't have a halach of get. And therefore, the same thing should apply, that they shouldn't be able to write, to create the get, by signing on the get. So how is it kosher? So Amar Reb Zeir says, Yarid Reb Shimon l'shitasei Reb Elazar. Reb Shimon is going based on the same theory as Reb Elazar's opinion. Da Amar Eid Mesir Karti, as is mentioned many times in this Masechta, Reb Elazar's opinion is that what creates the get? It's the witnesses who witness the giving over of the get from the husband's domain to the woman's domain. Which, as the Gemara tells us in the last paragraph of Pevav Med Aleph, where again, that that's what we mean by karti, they create the creases. That's what separates the husband from the wife. Not the get itself, not the witnesses who sign inside the get. So therefore, actually, Reb Elazar's opinion is, even if there's no witnesses in the document itself, rather it was only given over in front of Edom, even that's going to be okay. Now, therefore, Reb Shimon also is going in that opinion. That's why he holds his kasher, that as long as you give over the get in front of Jewish witnesses, so the Edom and Sira are going to create the creases, we don't care that the witnesses signed in the document are non-Jews, because they're not creating the creases. It's not the Edom Chasima Karati, it's the Edom and Sira Karati. Now that the Gemara asks, but V'amar Rabba said, Maida Reb Elazar, even Reb Elazar agrees that even though Reb Elazar says that a get that doesn't have witnesses is going to be kosher, he agrees, but if intrinsically it's considered a forgery in halacha, then it's going to be possible, because only if there's no witnesses signed in it does Reb Elazar hold its kasher, because you don't need. But if you have signed inside that get edom that are possible, meaning like non-Jews, then rabbinically we consider the get possible. Why? Because as we explained in the previous stuff, because maybe the people will end up giving the get in front of Edom Misira that are the same who are signed inside the document, and you're going to come to rely on the Edom Chasima to use this Edom Misira, which is a problem, because those who are signed inside are actually non-Jews, and they're not kosher of Edom Misira. So Reb Elazar agrees when the witnesses signed are not kosher, that then it's not a valid get. So how can you say Reb Shimon's going like Reb Elazar? If you have Edom Chasima that are signed that are not kosher, then even if you have Edom Misira that are Yisrael, shouldn't be kosher, at least rabbinically. So how does he say that it's kosher? So I think my answer is Hachmai Eskinan. What we're talking about over here, in the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, is as we continue the top of Yud Aleph and Aleph, B'Shemois Muvhakin. We're talking about that the non-Jews who signed inside this get in the non-Jewish courts are clearly, distinctly non-Jewish names. Where no Jewish person is going to rely on these types of witnesses who are signed inside of them to use them as Eid Mesir, because everyone knows that they're non-Jews, and we know non-Jews can't be valid witnesses. It's just that when they're not clearly non-Jewish names, then they might come to rely on them as Eid Mesir. So even Rebbe Lazar, who agrees and is concerned with Mezuif Mitaychai, wouldn't be concerned in this case with the clearly non-Jewish names, whereas, as we explained in the previous stuff, the Tanna Kamma held that no, it would be a problem because the Tanna Kamma is also going along Rebbe Lazar's opinion. Now the Gemara clarifies Heichadam Meshemes Mavakon, what are considered clearly non-Jewish names. So Amar Papa, he says, Kagain, for example, Hormiz, Vavodina, Barshevsai, Uvar Kidri, Uvati, Vinokim, Una. Whereas Rashi tells us that these are all names of the non-Jewish judges that they were in that time. Now, so that's the Gemara's answer. Now ask the Gemara, Avashemesh Ein Mavakon Mai. So what are you inferring? You tell me, but if they weren't clearly distinctly non-Jewish names, that then Reb Shimon would agree that then it's not going to be kosher, because you might come to rely on, as Reb Abba said, Reb Elazar agrees, Mezuif Mitaychai. But if that's the case, ask the Gemara, the Tani Seifa. So instead of the end of the Mishnah concluding in Reb Shimon's opinion, that says, Loi huskuru, we didn't mention being puzzle regarding having non-Jews signed in the get, because Reb Shimon says, no, Gitin Nashpish HaKarev Adnor also kosher, even the non-Jews signed the get. So he says, but wasn't it mentioned in the Beis Medrash at some point that it's going to be possible, even regarding Gita Nashma Shechurav Adam, if it's signed by non-Jews? And that Rabbi Shimon explains, oh, that's Ela Bezman Shenasu Behedyet. That's only if it was made by a common, not by a courts. Then is where we were concerned about that this is not going to be kosher. So then that's a problem. Now, on that asked the Gemara, but liflik velisni bidida, based on what we just said, let Reb Shimon differentiate in regards to even when it's done in courts itself. And they should have said as follows. When did we say that it is going to be kosher when non-Jews are signed in it, even by Gittin Nashim Shukra Vadim? That's only b'shemes muvakin, that's only by clearly non-Jewish names, where then we're not concerned they're going to use them for Eid Mesira. Avashemesh ein muvakin lai, but if they're not clearly distinct non-Jewish names, then it wouldn't be valid, even according to Reb Shimon. So why doesn't he differentiate in that halach itself? Why does he have to go to a different category and say, oh, that doesn't work? When you could say in our kares itself that it depends. So the Gemara answers, ahachin namikami. You're right, this is really what the Mishnah was saying. The Mishnah was saying, b'med v'mamurim b'shemes mevakin. When did we say this, Reb Shimon, that it's going to be kosher because of Eid Mesir being Yisrael, even though the non-Jews signed are non-Jews? That's only when they clearly non-Jewish names. Of b'shemes she'im mevakim, with not clearly non-Jewish names, then this is what you have to read into the words of the Mishnah. Then nasa, then it comes out like other documents of sale, kimi she'nasu behedit, as if they were made with common non-Jews, meaning not in a court of law. Where there, yes, it's going to be upsulin, they're going to be invalid because the non-Jews, if they're not a court, so they don't care that they're going to, you know, ruin their reputation and find out that they were lying, because they don't care. They're not courts. They don't care about reputation. Now, the way we just explained this, as Rashi explains, you have to say that this, that the Gemara is now answering and qualifying Reb Shimon's statement, that it's as if it was Nasa Behedyet, it must be going on regarding other documents, not Gitei Nashim, meaning other documents that are being utilized as proof, like we explained with Shtar Mecher. Because there, yes, you could differentiate between if it's a regular citizen or being done in the courts. Because regarding Gitei Nashim, we said regarding creases, there's no difference between a common person or the courts. Either way, they're not valid because they're not able to execute. Or if they are, it shouldn't be a difference with regarding a common person. Rather, this is what the Gemara is answering and saying, that it wasn't mentioned regarding Gitei Noshim to be puzzled, meaning something was mentioned once in the Beis Medrash, Reb Shimon is addressing, says that was only by Shemesh She'enam Muvhakin, where, yeah, that is a problem because we are concerned that then they're going to be the Eid Mesira, which is like the halacha of other shtaris that are done behedit, meaning, although we said, and Reb Shimon saying unilaterally, that being signed by non-Jews is always good, by Shar Shtaris and by Gittin Nashim, but by Gittin Nashim it was once mentioned that it's not going to be good, when's that case? When the Shemesh Ein Mefaken, then that would be categorically like that, like other Shtaris, which also has a certain element when it's not good, which is when it's done by Het Yoytis, again in the case of like Shtari Mecher, when it's being used just for proof, then, okay, then it's not a proof, because who said that he really gave him money? In the courts, we know he wouldn't want to ruin his reputation, the judge. By a regular non-Jewish citizen, he doesn't care. And again, that's why it uses that terminology of, but if it's done with a hedyid, because as we just explained, which it sounds like that's the end of Reb Shimon's statement, it can't be qualifying that if it's done by a hedyid, by Gittin Nashim, it should be a difference, because that wouldn't be the qualifying factor to differentiate between hedyaitis or between courts, because it doesn't make a difference. We're not going based on the chasima, it's really the Eid Mesira that are going to be karti, and the whole concern would be if it's mepakan or not mepakan, to see if we're going to rely on the Eid Mesira or not. So rather, it means to say, to compare it to what hedyotim are by Shar Shtaris, that's what Shemus Che'en Mepakan are by Gittin Nashim. That's one approach. So therefore, it doesn't contradict what we explained, that the reason why Reb Shimon says it's kasher is because he goes like Reb Elazar, that the primary is Eid Mesira, and although that the Eid Chasim are signed and it should be Mezuzah Mitoich, it's not because they're Shemos Mefaken, they're clearly non-Jewish names. We're not concerned you're going to use them for Eid Mesira. That's one approach to explain why the Seifa concluded in qualifying not in Shemos Mefaken, which could be a differentiation in our Kriyas itself, because it actually is doing that just by way of comparison to Yetis of Shar Shtaris. Or Ve'ibayis Ema, or if you want, the Gemara says a different resolution for why the Seifa doesn't qualify in our Christ itself, is because actually the Seifa, when it says Loi Huskru, was actually not Reb Shimon talking. It was actually Asoin Legite Momen, although it uses the word of that it would seem like it going on Gitim, it's actually going on documents related to money. And it's actually the Rabbanan from the Reisha that are saying this and qualifying their statement, where that they had said that any document relating to money that's processed in non-Jewish courts is kosher, where, again, as they held, besides Gittin Nashim Shechura Avodim, but monetary documents are good. So, for example, like by Shtari Mecher, as we explained the reason before, because it's actually the money that's creating the acquisition. And the document is only being used as a witness, as a proof, that because had the purchaser not given money to the seller, then the judges would not have risked his reputation and written a document if it didn't really happen. That's what Vahachikama, that's what the Sefer, the Mishnah is qualifying and explaining and saying, Lehuskru Gittim Amad Psulin, because although yes, it was mentioned once in the Beis Medrash that Gittim Apostle, not Gittim of Nashim, because the word get could refer to any document, but it was once mentioned in the Beis Medrash that even monetary documents are Apostle. That's what the Rabbanan of the Reisha qualify and say, oh, that's Ela Bezman Shanasa Behedyet. That's only at a time when it was done by a regular person that's not a judge. Where yes, there they're not particular about ruining their reputation, so even the Shtar Mecha, we wouldn't be able to rely on the document because it wouldn't be a proof. Yes, the acquisition is happening by the money given over, but how can you use this document as a way of a proof? It's only a proof by the courts, but although it was once mentioned in the Beis HaMedrash, in the study hall, that even a non-Jew in money documents is not good, that was a reference to a common person. So again, those are two approaches how to resolve this question that we asked. Where if we're saying that Reb Shimon is going like Reb Elazar, and the reason why it's kosher if the non-Jew signed inside, and it's not considered that it's mezuyif mitoich, it's an intrinsic forgery, because you have non-kosher aid that's signed inside, that's because the Shemus Mavhaken, so then why didn't the Sefer of the Mishnah then qualify and say, oh, that's only by when it's, that there is a case of Arkayas that is good when it's Shemus Mavakan, but there's a case of Arkayas that's not good when it's not Shemus Mavakan. One approach is, no, that is actually what the Seif is saying. It's comparing Shemus She'en Mavakan, again, although it doesn't say that, but that's what it's saying, that Shemus She'en Mavakan by Gittim are compared to what Hedyit is for Shtari Mammon, or actually the Seif of the Mishnah that's qualifying of Lehoskur is actually not Reb Shimon talking. You're right, if Reb Shimon would be qualifying, he would differentiate in our Kais itself, but actually it's actually the statement of the Rabbana, of the Reisha, who they were referencing that there's a difference that was mentioned in the Beis Medrash, not of Gittin Nashim, but rather of Gittin of Shtari Mammon, And that they were saying that's only regarding hedyot, because there's no risk of reputation, and that's why it's not going to be believed even as shtari mecher, in contrast to the halacha that they mentioned in the reisha, which was talking about shtari mamon that were processed in the court, and there the judge wouldn't want to risk his reputation, and that's why, since there's no kinyan happening through the judge, just as a proof, that would definitely be a valid proof, even though it's processed in a non-Jewish court.